welcome to Focus on the Communal Memories 107.9 WAMW and Worldwide Live from WAMWAMFM.com. I'm Grant Schwarzengruber. Each week we focus on a topic important to our community. Focus on the Community is sponsored by First Federal Savings Bank in Washington. Well, I'm excited about today's show. It's a serious topic, and it's something that has really been in a lot of the headlines of late. And today we're joined by two guests, and we're going to be talking about mental health and suicide awareness and prevention. And I'm joined by Dr. Joanna Primo and Ms. Jane Melvin, two local psychology workers and work in the psychiatric field. Is that correct? Should we start over?
That's good. We're both employed by the Samaritan Center, and so we are comprehensive community mental health
mental health professionals.
Mental health professionals.
Well, very good. Well, thank you for joining me. And this is something that I've been wanting to talk about. We just have to get the right people in to talk about it. So I'm really pleased that you're in today. We just had a suicide prevention month and suicide prevention week. I think it was here earlier in August. And I know you guys have an event coming up, and so we'll get a chance to talk about this. But let's get right into it. Tell me a little bit about your respective backgrounds and how you got into this area.
I've been in the field 25 plus years. So I started in the 90s and working in addiction. So I've been a licensed clinical social worker, worked for the Samaritan Center most of my life, both in addictions as well as working with chronically mentally ill.
And have you always, you said you always worked at Samaritan Center or elsewhere?
Pretty much. I left for about 5 years and then went back. So, yes.
Great. Joanna?
Well, I am a Washington native, born and raised from Washington Catholic High School, and I've always had a heart for people, and my faith is very important to me. And so I decided to graduate an undergrad from Indiana University, and then I got a PhD at Purdue in counseling psychology, so I'm a psychologist, and I also work at the Samaritan Center for 5 years, and it's a great place.
Wonderful. Well, I know this is a topic that's near and dear to both of your hearts just from the conversations that we've had. And recently, there have been a number of big news points where famous people have died by virtue of suicide. Is this something that a lot of people are talking about? It seems like it's just something that's really been front and center in the news.
I think the conversations are happening more, and they've needed to happen for a long time. And with the celebrity deaths by suicide, I think it shows that mental illness doesn't discriminate. You can be famous, you can be powerful, and you can still struggle with, you know, mental illness or depression or addiction. And so having that conversation about how to help people from all walks of life is super important.
And when we talk about these, the day that I thought of this as a concept for a show, it was when we saw Kate Spade, Anthony Bourdain die by suicide. And I mean, it was a shocking development when those things happen. It's mm-hmm. not that I know those people well, but it's just kind of, it's scary when mm-hmm. these things happen and you're like, wow, is this, it's just all these dominoes falling at once.
I think she's correct. It doesn't, it's regardless of wealth or intelligence
prestige
or anything. You know, I think Robin Williams probably hit me the hardest. Mm-hmm. Because you always think of him as, you know, having such a good sense of humor and always playing the character that, you know, was cracking jokes. And just, even though we knew that he had a history of bipolar, we knew that he had a history. He didn't hide much of the addiction and some of the mental health problems that he had, but it still just was such a, it was a shock.
Very sad.
And so. I've talked to some local pastors and people who work in the area of religion, their pastors or priests, and so they talk about just the frequency with which they're dealing with these issues, and it's really scary, and it makes sense what you're saying, that it doesn't discriminate. I mean, everybody has someone maybe that they know or knew of that is dealing with these types of issues.
Or themselves at different times, and that's kind of the message of it's okay not to be okay. And so we all need help at different points in our lives. And I think just saying people that are struggling with suicidal thoughts or some kind of mental illness, you know, mental health is health. Your brain is just an organ in your body like anything else. And so I think that if we keep, you know, ending the stigma of having a mental illness and talk about it to others who may not know, we may look nice and shiny on the outside, but sometimes, and sometimes we may not, but just saying, hey, I'm struggling here, and then praising that as courageous to get help, and then it's real strength, right? Saying I can be vulnerable and I can grow stronger with support.
Absolutely. So I know you guys have been involved in this particular area of study and work for different periods of time. I think, Dr. Primo, you said 5 years, and Jane, you mentioned 20, 25 years. How have these areas, how have they evolved and changed over these different periods of time? And maybe, Jane, because you've had a longer period of time, you can speak to that.
I think people being open and honest and being more upfront about having depression or anxiety or having something that they're struggling with, I think being able to have those honest conversations with family. And so I think, you know, I think there's more knowledge, there's more understanding. It's become more open. It's become more of a public conversation. The Zero Suicide Initiative started, at least in Indiana, through the Division of Mental Health and Addictions in about 2012. So I think that was when it became a statewide push to educate, to lead, to help people to become more open and to discuss it.
Absolutely. And so obviously we're in Southwest Indiana, which is a more rural area in general. And something that we've spoken about here briefly is just how our landscape maybe impacts this as well. I had a guy earlier who was been involved in statewide politics who said, oh yeah, we've got a mental health crisis in the state of Indiana.
Sure.
And so what does that mean? I mean, assuming you all agree with that, what does that mean, and what do we do from this point?
Well, I think the impact that it has on us, I mean, I guess there's multiple different levels of that. There's a shortage of psychologists, psychiatrists, and social workers. So there's a statewide, there's a nationwide.
Yeah, it's a United States problem also, but it is a problem in Indiana too. Yeah.
So do you guys struggle to get those types of people to work at your facility?
Oh, absolutely. And when you're in rural areas, it's even more of a struggle to get people who are willing to come to rural areas to practice. So that's one level of it. So, but then that kind of is a trickle down, is that then if you have less providers, then how do you serve everybody that needs to be served? So that's the next step. And then we have the economy. And I think that was one of the areas that you had of interest. The article that you sent us on the gentleman, the farmer in Montana, you know, that could be played out anywhere across the state and here in southern Indiana. I mean, because we all deal with, you know, you have the floods and then you have the droughts and then you have a depressed agriculture market. So, I mean, all of it kind of, so it kind of all just trickles down to us. And I think rural areas are hard hit.
And I also think that sometimes, I don't know if necessarily just Indiana, but there is a stigma sometimes in smaller towns of against mental health, maybe more from like old school, you kind of suck it up, you do the hard work and that kind
you
of a thing.
You be tough, you pull it together, you right. be, a, yeah.
and
be
I think
a big
that's,
boy, be a big girl and just move on.
And I think that's changing, but I think in rural areas, it's sometimes hard to get the message out as easily when maybe generations back was kind of the strong, silent type of saying, okay, you can be a strong, silent type, but you can also speak out when you need help and your service is there to really help you.
Sure. So the article that you guys are referring to that I sent you was on CNN, I think, but I've seen multiple places where they're talking about suicide rates in rural America and mental health issues in rural America. And in that article, it says suicide rate in rural America is 45% higher than in urban areas. And if you're telling me, hey, it's harder to get these types of workers in this area of practice to come to rural area, I mean, it's really concerning. But again, and we've covered this a little bit, but why is that the case? Why would it be almost 50% higher in rural America versus in a city?
I would say maybe, I don't know. I guess I don't have any facts on that, but I mean, it could be just access. In farming communities and hunting communities, so more access maybe to weapons. I'm not sure.
Maybe there might be some less education in a broader rural area of mental health and how you access services. Just so everyone knows, there's a national suicide prevention hotline, and that is, I have it written down here, 1-800-273-TALK. And that's 24 hours, day or night, and they can help you find local mental health resources.
Okay, that's 1-800-273-TALK, T-A-L-K, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And so basically, if you're having these types of issues, you can always reach out and call this hotline and have someone
yes.
on the line.
They even chat with you online if people don't want to talk. But obviously, we are employed with the Samaritan Center, which is in Davis, Martin, Pike, and Knox County. But I'm saying...
And we have a 1-800 number also that is a 24-hour.
What is that?
It's 1-800-824-7907. And that's manned 24 hours a day, so there is always someone available on crisis call.
Yes, yes, if you're in crisis.
So I think it's striking that it appears that it's that much worse in rural areas. I mean, my assumption would be that it's because of this stigma attached to talking about it. You see sometimes in pop culture how things swing through and they become less taboo to mm-hmm. talk about.
Yes.
And I think that's happening with mental health issues, but certainly certain areas of the country are going to be slower to change. Yeah. Montana would presumably be one of those areas.
The strong, rugged type, yeah.
Sure.
And the lack of facilities. It sounded like Montana had a lack of facilities within... you know, so many miles, and I think, you know, it's nice. The state of Indiana has a very nice comprehensive community mental health system. And again, we are in Ligoti, we're in Petersburg, we're here in Washington, and we're in Vincennes. So again, we're nicely represented, but still it's, you know.
And then I think also addiction obviously is a problem everywhere, and we're having an opiate epidemic crisis. But sometimes in rural areas, people, you know, speak out less if they are using any kind of drugs or alcohol or methamphetamine. And 1 in 3 people who die by suicide are under the influence of some kind of substance, the research shows. And that people that have been diagnosed, and those are just the ones diagnosed with a substance use disorder of some kind, are 6 times more likely to die by suicide. And so while addiction is prevalent everywhere, I think it's just the education maybe in rural areas of speaking out and how to get help plays a role in that as well.
Absolutely. And Joanna, you were recently, I think you told me you were at a conference for suicide prevention. And I wanted to give you a chance to talk a little bit about that. And I think you went with some of your coworkers to Northern Indiana. Is that correct?
Yes. It was awesome. It was in this past June. It was the Indiana Suicide Prevention Conference. They are at IPFW in Fort Wayne. And Kevin Hines was the keynote speaker who survived a suicide attempt after jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge. And if you want to look him up, his story was so powerful
wow,
and inspiring.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But they also talked a lot about having the conversation. And so they said one technique that anyone, not even a mental health professional, could be trained on, they wanted to be a gatekeeper, was at qpr.institute.com. And QPR stands for, if you would like to get the training, question, persuade, refer. And so the first part was, if you see some personality changes in someone where they're seeming more down or hopeless, or even the opposite, more all of a sudden a personality change, more active or sleeping less, or make suicidal statements, or you're not sure, you know, asking someone, hey, are you having thoughts of suicide? Doesn't cause someone to do it. And they could tell you yes or no, right? And so the question's the first part, just not being afraid
to
ask.
That's the cue, right?
Mm-hmm. The persuade would be, you know, it's okay not to be okay. We all need help sometimes. I think that strong people take care of their mental health. And then the R would be refer, so they're in crisis, I could drive you to the nearest ER. Here's a number, giving them resources. But that was a pretty cool education, just because all of us have power to try and make a difference if people let us.
So that's QPR, question, persuade, and refer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some of these people, we talked that there's a lack of, again, this type of, the types of things that you guys do, there are very few of you in our area. And so what if they're being referred to a Christian-based counselor or a pastor or something like that? I mean, is that thought to not be effective? Is that acceptable? What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, I think everybody should ask, can ask. I mean, you know, the QPR training is for anyone, and everyone can go on that website and take it. So, I mean, I think if you're a pastor, I would think that would be the top.
Sorry, maybe my question wasn't good. What if they're referring them? Because if there's not that many of you all,
I got
right?
You.
Oh, okay.
Say,
yes.
Hey, you really need to go talk to, you know, our pastor about X, Y, or Z, or our priest about what's going on.
I think pastors and priests can be excellent people to talk to.
Absolutely.
I mean, some of them have formal counseling training. Some do not. And I think that you can ask. Do you have a mental health background? Do you feel comfortable with working with me on these issues? And, of course, some pastors are going to be better than others. It's, even though I love my faith in the Bible, it's not that great to just give them a verse and send them away with no follow-up. They're having suicidal thoughts. But some of them do have training. And most pastors or priests are pretty good if they think someone needs additional help of making referrals also.
And also that person is someone that they can talk to.
Yes.
Maybe
yes.
It's not going to be out in the open if they... assuming they can keep confidences with their pastor or their priest.
I think being open and honest about the situations or your feelings, your emotions, what you've got going on at that time is probably the biggest key. And there's always, you know, the local emergency room that is going to also provide referral. And I mean, if they do speak to someone and that someone recognizes that they are having thoughts of hurting themselves, then helping them get to the closest ER is certainly recommended.
Absolutely.
Sure. So you mentioned hopeless earlier. You made that, one of you made the comment that, you know, people are looking hopeless. And a few weeks ago, we interviewed a gentleman, Antoine Fisher, who represents an organization called Kids at Hope. And what that organization has figured out is that hope is an element that separates this certain segment of young people from being, quote, successful in life versus not being successful in life. That element, if we can quantify it, if we can inject that into the situation, it's supposed to really positively impact people. So how do we inject that same piece of the puzzle into these situations? Like, what do we need to do?
I think the piece of being hopeless, and I always call it that moment of insanity, because, you know, people have walked through our doors that have had successful lives and maybe hit upon a bad moment, and for that bad moment they became very hopeless and thought that that was the only answer, because I think they have that moment of insanity, and at that moment it's very difficult to get them to move beyond that. They may have a suicide attempt and then they realize, oh my gosh, what have I done? And then that's when I think that it's important to establish that hope. You know, that is our speaker that we have on Saturday, September the 8th, is Adam Hill.
Yeah, let's talk about that. I know you've got a big event coming up.
We do.
Yes,
gave me this flyer, and obviously I want you to have an opportunity to give a plug for it. So please,
I do.
Go ahead.
So Adam is a graduate of Lincoln High School and the son of a former director of the Child and Adolescent Program and former politician out of Knox County,
okay,
Mark Hill. And Adam's going to be talking about that hope, because he has been through addiction recovery, suicide thoughts, and so how that, you know, developing hope, giving them hope, you know, I think people knowing that someone cares about you, knowing that someone can listen, knowing that you've got that, either that pastor or that family member or even that good friend, and letting them know that you do care, and that, you know, that everyone has problems, like Joanna said.
Yes.
Sure.
Everyone.
And everybody needs somebody.
Everybody
so let me
somebody.
Give you the details on this real quick for our listeners. September 8th at Kemmel Park. It starts at 9 a.m. and it's a suicide prevention 5K. Is that right?
Yes.
That's correct.
So we'll have the run and then you'll have the speaker, Mr. Hill,
yes.
Thereafter. So if you're interested in that, we'll post the information on our site here so
Wonderful.
That folks can get to it. No one want to give you that plug for that event. But I also I want to kind of get back to the concept at hand. And we talked a little bit about the economy. But as the economy ebbs and flows, I'm concerned that that can impact people's mental health.
It can because obviously if people are going through difficult financial circumstances or men or women feel like they can't provide for their families, it can take, you know, a hit on that hope. And I think having services, like we have a sliding fee scale at the Samaritan Center, for example, and we take people that have Medicaid or Healthy Indiana plans, saying that even if you're struggling right now and you're feeling hopeless, I think fostering hope is a huge undertaking. There's lots of research about it. But just saying that, you know, right now you're emotionally overwhelmed and it seems like you're going to feel this way forever. And so in this crisis, we're going to be with you and work with you. And if there's financial resources to provide in the community, like Heaven's Kitchen or that sort of thing, or just a big conversation of if you're financially struggling, you can still talk to someone. Anyone can go in, for example, if they're in a crisis, to the local emergency room and they won't turn someone away. And so the more we can create more jobs and prosperity, which I know they're working on very hard in Davis County and beyond, will help with that also. And mental health funding is always needed.
Absolutely. Well, we are getting close to the end of the show, but I did want to give you both an opportunity to give us some feedback and some closure on this topic. I know it's not something that's easy for everyone to talk about. You know, we're talking about mental health, suicide prevention, and specifically in our rural neck of the woods, so to speak. So what are some things that we can do? What do we need to see over the next few months and years to hopefully address these issues?
I think one thing could be is once you start the conversation, it becomes easier to talk about. And a lot of people will struggle with an episode of depression or anxiety or a crisis of a death loss in their life sometimes. And so I think one big thing is ending the stigma of if it's with your children, your coworkers, your family, get mental health treatment. And that's a brave, normal, healthy thing to do because your brain is important just like your heart and kidneys and pancreas. And it's not a character defect to struggle at times like we all do. And then I think normalizing that mental illness is just, you know, mental health is health. And then I also think that will be a huge piece. And then just keep getting more access and funding would be huge as well.
There's something on your Android or your iPhone called a virtual hope box. And so it's something that, you know, people can utilize to find those things in their life that are meaningful, people, you know, pets, whatever that is, something that gives you hope. I mean, and so there are, you know, they're on your iPhone. You can download a virtual hope box.
Yes.
And virtual hope.
Huh? Virtual hope. So, nice. But I think knowing that you're not alone, knowing that you matter, that your life can get better. It may be difficult at this moment, but recovery is certainly worth it.
Impossible.
Impossible, yes, very and possible.
Not everyone is going to be a mental health professional, but just saying, taking the time to say, how are you? And then really listening, right? You don't have to go into counseling, but I think sometimes we just rush around, and with technology, we can sometimes be isolated. And I think if in our families, we kind of just check in and make talking about feelings and health normal, it's easier to share than if you're struggling.
Very good. This has been a good conversation. I hope we can help some people in our communities with these issues, and I hope we can get the conversation started. Thank you so much for coming on today, and we're going to close out with a little bit of a reminder about this Suicide Prevention 5K on September the 8th at 9 a.m., and thank you so much for coming on the show today, ladies.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Grant. We hope to see you September 8th at Kimmel Park in Vincennes.
Focus on the Community is sponsored by First Federal Savings Bank in Washington. You can listen to a rebroadcast of today's show Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. on Four Star Country, the General 95.9 FM, 1580 AM. You can also listen to a copy of today's program and past shows by visiting WAMWAMFM.com. I'm Grant Schwartzentruber, inviting you to tune in every Saturday morning at 8:35 a.m. on Memories 107.9 WAMW, and each Sunday morning on 95.9 and 1580 WAMW as we focus on the community.